Hi, Alex.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Thanks again for doing this. We fell in love with your brand the first time we came in here. We heard good music. We experienced the value of community. Mm-hmm. And that brings us here.
Yep.
So I would like to ask, how were you inspired to create Soulful Cypher?
Yeah, I mean, it comes from a place of love. You know, first and foremost, I'm a son of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And it began when I began mentoring on the east side of Atlanta, some kids at a community center called Whiteford. And originally I'd go in there to teach them photography skills, but the real way I was able to connect with them wasn't through photography, it was actually mm-hmm. through our shared appreciation for rap and hip hop culture. And at the Whiteford Intel Computer Clubhouse, they had a recording studio. And of course the kids went in there, they wrote rhymes that they wanted to get to the radio. So, you know, mm-hmm. it was about, you know, girls and money and all those kind of things. But it was when we stepped outside of the cypher mm-hmm. that the real story started to come out. And
yeah.
that's when they actually spoke about what was going on in their lives. And I always share that there was one rhyme that changed my life. It was a young man who was about 16 years old. And he began to rhyme. He got emotional. And he said that he had taken two shots to the leg and his cousin had taken a shot to the head. And that his cousin laid there dead. And I looked down, I had never noticed before, but he had two bullet wounds right in his mm-hmm. leg. And that's when I knew he was rapping about was real. Also, I realized that that was a point of healing for him as well. I realized that the cypher wasn't just for entertainment, it was also cathartic as well. It was a space for healing, connecting, and also educating. So it was there that I realized that there was a power in the cypher. And I was also doing that with some of my close friends. And I thought, why not be able to bridge generations, bridge people from different parts of Atlanta as well, people from different backgrounds, races, et cetera, et cetera.
Possibly, maybe one day, people from Africa.
Absolutely. I mean, we have, I mean, I see ourselves as Africans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I definitely have a pan-African philosophy. I see the African in us, and I also see the African, or the Africa that continues the spot, the Ma'at, or the transatlantic slave trade. I see the African traditions and rituals in surprising ways that come up, you
mm-hmm.
know, the call and response, you know, just the flavor of our music. You know, as I study drum,
mm-hmm.
I can hear old patterns that are also within like new patterns as well. So for me, this is truly a art form that not only connects people within a certain space, but it also connects us to our roots.
Yes.
It connects timeline, it connects lineages as well. So this is something that spans beyond the present and goes to the past and the future as well.
Yeah, I think that's the strongest part of your brand, to be honest. The fact that it brings connectedness.
Yep.
You know, and you know, in Africa, when you come to Nigeria, for instance,
mm-hmm.
that's something you see people do. We connect, we live together, we socialize, and we just tend to do a lot of things together.
Right.
So I would say, how has this work affected and impacted your immediate community?
Yeah.
Would you say, you know, the youth are better about talking about your lives and, you know, less about the women and the drinks and everything else when they freestyle?
Yeah.
So would you say Soulful Cypher has a large impact on this community?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And now I'll round off the story. Previously, and then I'll come back to the impact that we've
mm-hmm.
had.
Yeah.
So with some of my close friends, I decided to write a proposal to another community center. And that community center was called Wonder Root. And we started doing ciphers every second and fourth Sunday
mm-hmm.
in the basement of Wonder Root. And this is really where the impact comes in. You know, I realized that working with the youth at Whiteford,
mm-hmm.
that they needed consistency in their lives. They need to have positive role models as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the most important thing was to have consistency, a safe and nurturing space for them to be able to let out the steam of what was going on in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
That one young man that rapped about the violence he experienced, that was one of thousands of people who have stepped into our cypher, but each of those individuals who step into our cypher has a story. And that cypher is a space in which they can allow themselves to release and
mm-hmm.
also be heard. Also, I would say that another significant aspect of our impact is that we're providing third space. Because a lot of third spaces are disappearing, especially within this modern society. A lot of interactions are online, and they're not as personal. So we're keeping alive, you know, certain traditions and also like the ways that people are able to interact. And with an epidemic of male loneliness here in the States, and I believe probably abroad as well, a lot of men are lonely.
Yes.
The cipher is a space in which people can come together. People can connect in very real ways. They can inspire one another. They can hear each other's stories. So I think those are some ways that we've impacted as well. We also give opportunities to MCs, educational opportunities, but then also employment opportunities as well. For our MCs, we've traveled not only the nation, but also now started to travel the world as we went to France last year.
Okay.
To Marseille, France, on the invite of the French consulate. So these are opportunities that a lot of these MCs wouldn't have had, but they have great skill set and they have a space, a safe space, a nurturing space to be able to celebrate this art form, pass it to the next generation. And speaking of passing to the next generation, not only do we do performances around the world, but we also do workshops as well. In school and also after school. Mm-hmm. So we have a educational program called Workshop, where we're working with kids throughout Atlanta and also beyond as well. So we're giving true opportunities and transferable skills to MCs so that they can be able to grow their careers.
Okay. There was something you said about generations. So when we came to the Soulful Cypher, we saw a lot of dads with their kids.
Yeah.
And it was so cool to watch. You know, I started to think about it that if my dad could rap and then he brought me here to watch him rap, that would be the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
Because we had kids on the floor and then they were looking up to their dads rapping, and that could lead to something even more powerful. So I think a point of reflection for us really has been the fact that it has to start from somewhere.
Yep.
And with these dads, it's starting from here.
Yep.
You know, the kind of work you're doing is bringing men together, is giving them a safe space to express themselves.
Absolutely.
So is this something that you hear, you know, the ladies in the community tell you that, you know, my husband is, let's say, more involved or, you know, his, let's say he's happier.
Yeah.
Is that something
absolutely,
you hear?
Absolutely. And matter of fact, there's a group called the Ladies of Soul Food Cypher
that's
comprised of many of the spouses and also girlfriends of the Cypher members, and they're close, they're a clique within themselves as well.
Okay.
But it is a very, you know, it is very important that they support their partners.
Yeah.
And they can see the benefits that Soul Food Cypher brings. It allows for them to be more vulnerable and show up in their lives and also responsible and they're in communicating as well. And it also gives them, you know, a space for bonding. A lot of times, especially in America, like men, we bond around like alcohol.
Yeah.
And we bond around violence.
Yeah.
Like watching like boxing or UFC. And there's just like a lot of like, not saying that like those sports are necessarily inherently bad. I'm not saying that. But there's just a association with like drinking when men get together, and also violence. I'm just going to be real. I mean, for example, American football, it's a violent sport at the end of the day, you know? So, this is not a violent thing at all, you know. If anything, this is a very, again, a nurturing space, and a space in which, in a way, it could be like therapy. Yeah.
So what does changing the rap on rap mean to you?
If you don't mind, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
So you mentioned your dad.
Yeah.
And you were just imagining if your dad could, like, rap.
Yeah.
I'm curious, like, what did you see your dad do? What did he enjoy doing when you were growing up?
A bunch of things, to be honest. But my dad is a doctor.
Like a medical doctor?
A medical doctor, yes. And watching him get ready every day and go to work and then come back, you know, was something I was very curious about. To be honest, when I was five, I really wanted to get a job. Because I wanted the same sense of purpose, you know, the way he would go and come back. I wanted to just leave and have everyone miss me and come back and eat my food and watch TV and stuff like that. So he used to do this very amazing thing where during the holiday, he would take me to work and then he would carry me to see his patients. And if I'm able to guess what's going on with the patient, I get free lunch from wherever I want or a free toy. So I was always reading his books and just trying to understand what he does. So I think that was something that connected us. The fact that I thought he was this amazing this amazing repository of information. Mm-hmm. Like he knew everything about everybody and everything that was wrong with everybody. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that a patient would come in so sick and then by nighttime they're going home, at the time they were going home, to me was amazing.
Yeah.
So seeing all of that, the way he would interact with those patients and the way he brought me in a way I could understand that as a child was amazing. Yeah. I wanted to be a doctor, but you know, physics didn't work out for me. So I changed my mind. But you know, I'm doing amazing stuff. And I think it led me to where I am today. Mm-hmm. So I work in social impact and my dad's work sort of led him to work with NGOs. Mm-hmm. So I sort of knew that that's what I wanted to do.
Yep.
So I think in a sense, just being able to help people from watching him do same was enough for me to be who I am today.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
That's really dope. You know, I guess when MCs bring their children to the cypher, it's almost like...
It's the same thing.
Yeah, like bring your child to work day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is really like the work that they enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in a way, they're healing people as well.
Yes.
You know, through their rhymes,
yes,
too.
Yes, yes.
And again, my hat's off. You know, your dad's is a medical doctor, and that's a very important function, you know, within the Black community.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, all communities is doctors. Yeah. But when I think about our ancestry as far as MCs and also as a people as well, we tie a lot of our traditions back to the African griot, or more specifically the Jaliba, the storyteller.
Yeah.
And passing on traditions, histories as well. So in a way, again, this is how we connect back to our roots. And that's the African that I see in us as well.
Good.
So yeah, like it's really beautiful and amazing to be able to see the children look up to their fathers, and also disrupt a narrative within especially Black America that Black men are not involved in their children's lives.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just something that's been so pervasive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you actually came and that was a poignant moment and something very visual that you recognized and noticed. So thank you for sharing that.
Thank you, Alex, for what you're trying to build here. So you said something about roots, about tracing back to our roots and then working with what we have.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine if we're supposed to replicate Soul Food Cypher back home in Africa.
Yeah.
How would that look like?
Yeah, first of all, like it's important to get like that natural feel for like how y'all rock and what y'all do, you know what I'm saying? And the thing about it too is it's like Africa is not like a monolith, you know, it's not one size fits all.
Oh yeah.
So there's a lot of like different traditions. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, so throughout the diaspora there's different freestyle traditions.
Yes.
You know, that's already exist. And this is something that's actually like blown my mind. So from my understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, like if I would pronounce any of these things, but in Ethiopia, I believe there's a music form called Amazi.
Okay.
Any of y'all ever heard of that?
No, but we'll make sure to ask our Ethiopian friend.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I might be pronouncing it wrong, but from my understanding, like there's like a lot of freestyling like within that. So music is playing and like people are rhyming in real time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also I think about like... for example, like in Cuba, the Puyas, you know what I'm saying? Like there's like with Guan Guan Ko and Roomba and bragging, going back and forth, like about my sound is better than yours.
Oh yeah.
You know, but for example, there's just like rhythms, you know, that exist throughout the diaspora and each place has like their own flavor.
Yes.
And for many of the cultures, this has been going on for centuries. Of course. But what's really unique about like Black Americans and like African Americans, and this is like what's special about us and why I think like we can go anywhere and kind of like fit in and blend in is because everything's been stripped from us. So we have to be able to improvise like with any and everything. So everything, because we had nothing, everything is ours in a way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that being said, like when you think of like, again, this is kind of goes into our name, Soul Food Cypher. Like when you think of like soul food, you think of like
food for the soul.
Food for the soul. Yeah. Absolutely. Because what we're doing is like food for the soul. Again, it's kind of like being a doctor. We're nourishing. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Providing food for the soul. But also, like, I think about like gumbo, for example, is like a soul food.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying? Definitely associated with New Orleans, et cetera, et cetera. But black people make that. You know what I'm saying? But gumbo is like you put everything in that pot.
Yeah.
But not everybody can make gumbo right. You can't just put everything in the pot. It's just, you have to cook it with a certain kind of flavor, kind of like, you know what I'm saying? Just like everybody can't rap. Mm-hmm. You know, so that being said, how would a soul food cipher in Africa sound? For one, it's like about sourcing what's already there, the sounds that are already there. You know, working with the musicians that are already there, like the DJs that are already there. Mm-hmm. Understanding what traditions have already, you know, come up. And bringing together like those artists, and I would love like for Soul Food Cypher to come in too with our artists too and just have a conversation. As a matter of fact, boom, I'll share the story with you. We went to France last year and we had the opportunity to perform during a festival called Hip Hop Society Festival.
Okay.
And we worked with a French host. His name was Chameleon. Shout out to Chameleon, if you're out there listening to us. Really, really, really dope. Like, dope MC, like, he could rock a crowd like no other. And we were rocking with two of our MCs, Mike Sick and also Boone Duke. And we would give instructions in English, and then he would also give instructions, like, in French.
Amazing.
But he had the crowd rocking. And we had an amazing performance, an amazing show. And I shared with him after the show that even though we couldn't speak the same language necessarily, we were speaking the same language.
Mm-hmm.
And that was transferable. And there's a famous conversation between Dizzy Gillespie and Chano Pozo. Chano Pozo is a Cuban drummer, Afro-Cuban drummer, who is credited with him and Dizzy Gillespie with helping start Latin jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he's a larger than life character, if you haven't read about Chano Pozo, but he didn't speak English very well. But when he met Dizzy, he said, "Me no speak English, me no speak Espanol, but we speak African."
Yeah.
So at the end of the performance, I went to Chameleon and I told him, you know, I don't speak French, you don't really speak English as well, but we speak African. And he completely understood, you know what I'm saying? So. That's one of the things that I appreciate. And I feel like with hip hop to me is not so much like a music or a genre. Like I can go like deep into this, but like essentially so America, especially how our economic system is set up, everything is monetized. So you have to put labels on things.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing is really a continuation of the blues, jazz, et cetera, et cetera. And these are all things that have been given names. As a matter of fact, jazz is actually a derogatory term.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard that before?
In a way.
Yes.
You actually told me, you told myself and Addy, you know, the time we went out to coffee about how jazz started and how jazz is right now. So
Absolutely. So for those that don't know, so jazz is actually short for jackass music.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. Like that's what the colonizers called our music. They were like, "Oh, you playing that jackass music?" And then that jackass music just slowly became, you know, through our southern accents, slur, jackass, jackass, jazz, 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 jazz.
Yeah.
So it becomes jazz music. So we're literally calling our music jackass music.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I guess a more appropriate term, and actually, you know, a good friend of mine and my neighbor, Lavelle Hooks, shout out Lavelle Hooks, always calls it African-American classical music to be able to give it the respect that it deserves as well. So even like when we talk about hip hop music, it's a continuation of longer standing forms because we're improvising. When you talk about, you know, scatting as well, like jazz musicians scatted, you know what I mean? And like what we're doing is putting words to those scats. You get what I'm saying? So it goes back even further and even deeper than a lot of people like truly understand. But for the most part, these are just names. But hip hop is really a continuation of traditions that survived the transatlantic slave trade.
Mm-hmm.
And that help connect us. This is the university. This is how we train our minds as well. So it's much more than just a genre of music. And it allows us the framework to be able to mix, to be able to do whatever we need on a global scale and connect with people from all different backgrounds. And I believe that the cipher it's the communal aspect of that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just gonna ask you the African artists that you admire, and then I'll paint you a picture of how I see Soul Food Cypher happening in Africa. So who do you admire in the African music scene? Like maybe a song you've heard, you know, that if you were to come to Nigeria, if you're going to South Africa, you'd say, this is the person I want in that room.
Yeah.
Who's that person for you? Or who are those people for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, right off the bat, Fela. Okay. Fela Kuti. I'm old school. So this is the thing about me. Like, I'm very, like, old school with things, like, even music. Mm-hmm. Like, I love rap. I love hip-hop. But I'm also, like, a producer as well. So, like, I listen to, like, older music, mm-hmm. you know? So that's very, like, important to me, is to lock in, especially, like, what the sources. To me, it's like I'm really interested in like finding the roots of things as well. As far as like genres, I would even say I'm a piano. Definitely has like inspired me. Like I can just put that on like work for hours. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've been getting definitely much more into like instrumental music as well. And forgive me if I mispronounce. I don't want to mispronounce names. But there is an Ethiopian composer that I really, really like. Mulatu Astati? How do I pronounce this? I'm sorry.
Mulatu Astati? Can I see?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Mulatu Astake.
Mulatu Astake.
Yeah.
Mulatu Astake. So, yeah, so that's... So a composer, Ethiopian composer that I like is Mulatu Astake.
Okay.
As well. So again, these are like older, you know, musicians, but like I really rock with it.
Okay. So Soul Food Cypher coming to Nigeria, for instance. Okay. Let's have a room of people. You know, we're obviously maybe out for drinks. Everyone is chilling.
Yep.
Because it has to be a chill vibe. So everyone is relaxed, you know, everyone is enjoying the moment. Everyone is in the moment. Because when you're listening to African music on its own, it has a way of being spiritual, right? And then everyone is there. Fela, who knows? His spirit could be there.
Yeah,
Mulatu. And then you have the new generation guys. You have
Burna Boy, etc.
You have Burna Boy. You have Davido. Yep. You have all of these guys. And then everyone is just enjoying themselves, you know, feeling motivated. You know, there's this Afrobeats instrumental going on by the side. And then maybe your guys jump on it and give us a few verses, and
then
it just goes on like that and like that and like that, and everybody just feels in tune. Mm-hmm. And the reason I even have this picture, right, is because we went to this Emma Piano place here in Atlanta on Tuesday, and it was fun. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody was, you know, when you're at the club, you have the VIP and you have the regular section. Nobody cared about that.
Yeah.
Everyone was dancing with everyone.
Yeah.
You know, and then the DJ starts to mention people that are immigrants, African immigrants, if you're first generation, if you're second generation, if you represent this culture, if you represent that culture, nobody felt left out.
Yep.
It was just so together. It was just so connected. And that's how I envision Soul Food Cypher happening.
Yeah.
So to carry this conversation forward, Alex, what's next for Soul Food Cypher in the next 5 years? Where are you going to? What are your dreams to take this forward? And what are your dreams to bring the energy that comes with SFC down to Africa?
Yeah. Before we answer that, I got to say, that's a beautiful vision. I want to see that come to fruition. Mm-hmm. You know, I also see live instrumentation as well. Mm-hmm. You know, like you were saying, like the music and the beats.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I would actually show you a video after this.
Please.
Because at the end of every month, my hometown, people from my hometown, staying in where in the city I live in, come together for a meeting. Mm-hmm. And usually after the meeting, by the time everyone has gotten drinks in and food in, I have this uncles that will take drums and form a drum circle, and then they will start singing. Mm. So when I was little, I thought they were singing folk music. I thought it was old school music. Mm. And when I asked my mom as an adult, she was like, oh no, you're just singing nonsense.
Right.
You know, but the nonsense actually has so much meaning,
right?
You know, because you're singing in Igbo and you're like, we're here, we're having drinks, and they're all singing about how they're feeling. Mm-hmm. But it has this distinct sound that you're not even able to make out what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But these guys are hilarious and they're cracking so many jokes. But they're doing it to the way that they feel comfortable.
Yep. Yeah. And that's the flavor that I'm talking about. Like stuff like that. Like I think like on the surface, it's like Of course, we would definitely have Afro beats.
Oh, yeah.
You get what I'm saying? That's also why I didn't necessarily answer that. Mm-hmm. Go directly in that direction.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like anticipated. Because, I mean, there's like a kinship of mm-hmm. like hip-hop and Afro beats as well. You know, yeah. There's definitely differences, but at the same time, there's like a kinship. And, of course, explore that. But I'm really interested in like exploring like even deeper roots.
Ooh.
And okay. What I'm saying, too, is just kind of like, we can say things, and what I'm really interested in is like hearing the different languages. That's mm-hmm. one of the things that's great about Africa.
Yeah.
Is that like even in Nigeria, there's mm-hmm. multiple languages.
Yes.
But here, like in the States, it's just like we speak English.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? And that's it. But even how we speak English is different. Like
very different. Yeah.
I'm from the South, and trust me, like I'm toned down, but like we have we have a draw. Very, we can slow our words.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm really interested in is like the African dialect and like how that translates. You get mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And like how we might be speaking in different languages, but we're actually saying the same thing in the way we say it.
Yeah.
How we say it, you know? So mm-hmm. I'm really interested in the languages that can be spoken, the instrumentals, the drums, the different sounds. I'm interested in high life. I know that's primarily Ghanaian, but like mixing all that in as well. So mm-hmm. for me, it's like we can go so deep into it. And for me, I think that would be something that's very impactful for our MCs. To be able to see the power in their voices.
Yeah.
So where is Soul Food Cypher going?
5 years.
5 years. So I'm going to start dreaming big, and I'm going to start dreaming here first, because of course I see Soul Food Cypher expanding around the world, but I see us solidifying our roots by having a home base here in Atlanta. And what I mean by that is having a home, a physical location. And my dream is for Soul Food Cypher to have a home in a historic Black church.
Okay.
Here in Atlanta. Like, for us to be able to tie those traditions back to, you know, those Sundays. I think about the Cypher. Like, we do it on Sundays for a reason, you know. Mm-hmm. And the Black church is a very important space. And a lot of our traditions were kept in the Black church as well. So for the Cypher to be able to find a home in a historic Black church, that would mean the world to us. And that will allow for us to truly springboard to other spaces and places around the world. I see Soul Food Cypher also developing chapters throughout not only the United States, but also throughout the world as well. We would love to have a chapter in Joburg, a chapter in Nigeria. If it's Lagos, if it's other areas, then great.
Yeah.
We want to go out to East Africa as well. Shout out to the producer over there. So yeah, I mean, I see the Cypher really growing.
Yeah.
Because what's missing in hip hop culture, a lot of times, again, we think of hip hop as a commodity, mm-hmm. but hip hop truly is like community, and the Cypher is a representation of that. Because without community, like the art form doesn't exist. You got AI, you got stuff, but there's no soul in it.
Yeah.
And Soul Food aims to continue to pass the soul to the next generation, and also make sure that we have a safe space for the art form
mm-hmm.
as well. So yeah, I see us growing. I see us growing to other spaces, see us going to the Caribbean. I'm very interested in Jamaica as well. You know, a lot of hip hop's foundations are in Jamaica. That's one of the major genesis points as well. I mean, you got toasting, you got, you know, reggae, dancehall culture, a lot of that flavor came up with Kool Herc. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
1973 South Bronx. You know, brought a lot of that, but also connected to our traditions here, which is like the vamping tradition
mm-hmm.
here, which is a lot, very similar to toasting as well. So again, boom, like that's us speaking the same language. You get what
yes,
I'm saying? It's
yes,
like
yes.
the vamping, the toasting, all that. Like, mm-hmm. even though, I mean, I guess we both speak English, Jamaicans and Americans, but dialects are very different. But we were able to come together and build something together. And that, and arguably that's hip hop. But mm-hmm. again, hip hop is a large enough culture, art form that has multiple genesis points, you know, throughout. So this, it was born in many places.
Yeah.
But to me, it truly existed. So for us, my 5-year goal is for us to really explore our roots and be able to reconnect to our most ancient roots.
That was very beautiful, Alex. And I see it happening because, I mean, even starting from this conversation, this is July of 2025. Yeah. And I mean, 5 years from now is this close, because the way the year has been rushing is almost like everything just wants you to come down and start to form these chapters. So to make this happen, before we end this conversation, is there any way you would want people to connect with this? And is there any way you would want people to support this dream?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, we are always looking for support via donations as well. If you go to soulfoodcipher.com, we have a donation tab. Like, we definitely appreciate the donations. We are a 501c3 nonprofit, so it is a tax deductible donation as well. Also, if you're down to link with us, we're also looking for members to join our cipher as well. Find us on Patreon, Soul Food Cipher, and become a member today and join our community.
Yeah, thank you so much, Alex.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really appreciate your time. And definitely, I'm sure a lot of people are going to be connecting with you and telling you how they want to be involved, because this interview is going to go places. And hopefully we have more Africans living in Atlanta connecting with you and your team and making this a whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much for your time.
Now, thank you for interviewing me.
And Alex, before I go, you created Soulful Cipher.
Yeah.
You're a product of hip-hop culture.
Yeah, I am.
Do you mind dropping a few bars for us before we go?
I'm going to pass on that.
Oh. Yeah. I wanted to try. It was worth the try.
Yeah, no.
Thank you so much, Alex.
Hey, absolutely.
Good.